Part 31, Chapter 6. Johnny, when he got into the compound, put Patty down and went looking for McKendrick. He found him in the hospital.
"Where's the epidemic?"
demanded McKendrick.
"I got your call in the middle of a medical lecture. I brought a whole medical team. And when I get here, I find you've taken off."
"This time, we're going to do it."
"Oh, you mean the capsules? Johnny, I've tried every way I can think of, and there's no getting in those skulls. Too much bone. I thought I showed you."
The doctor went over to where he'd last left the huge cyclo skull. He knocked his knuckles on it.
"It's just plain solid bone. The brain is clear down under the lower back plate. If I drill out enough bone to get to it, you'll just have a dead cyclo."
"Ah, you used the word drill. I didn't."
He walked over to the skull and picked it up, all 100 pounds of it. McKendrick had wired on the joints, and Johnny opened the jaw.
"Now, watch the ear bones."
He got a better grip and held it up to the light. An action something like juggling a medicine ball.
"Watch."
He opened the jaw again. The hinge, not the place a cyclo heard through, but the place where the ear bone met the back jawline, opened to show a hole about 1/32 of an inch in diameter.
"You showed me this once and explained you couldn't get an instrument through it. But it leads right to the spots where the capsules are embedded in the brain."
McKendrick was skeptical.
"Johnny, I got a whole team in there cleaning the place up for a possible operation. I thought something serious had occurred. But as it's no emergency, why don't we just get some sleep?"
Johnny took the skull over to the table they had used before for dissection and put it down.
"It may look like no emergency to you, but the truth is that we don't know how to make a cyclo motor, and we don't know how to work their math. If we don't know those things, we could come unstuck. We must have hundreds of planes right this minute that are inoperative. We need consumer products out in the planets, and the cyclo motors are tops. It's an emergency that'll do for now, but watch."
Johnny took a thin, insulated wire from his pocket and inserted it in the tiny skull hole. He took the other end of the wire and pushed it through the tiny hole on the other side.
"What are you doing?"
demanded McKendrick.
"Now, the question you must answer is, will these wires, pushed in, tear up any jaw or ear muscles?"
"Oh, they might hit some tissue, but the main muscles aren't there. That hole occurs because the jawbone, when extended to the extreme lower position, would have to leave a hole. Otherwise, there would have to be 2 additional bone plates. And Lord knows, there's enough already. I don't think..."
Johnny reached for the kit he had hastily packed. He drew out a molecular plating gun.
"This thing pours a stream of molecules from a rod onto a surface."
McKendrick was at sea.
"You can't get a gun like that in a head."
"The gun unit goes outside."
He dug out an electrical terminal plate.
"Where's one of those capsules we removed?"
McKendrick got one of the 2 half circles of bronze